I feel like I have a lot to say. Last time I said I feel like I have a lot to say, we got done pretty quick. And the times I tell you I'm near won't be long is when it takes forever. So if it trends that way, then we won't be here long. But I feel like I have a lot to say this morning. And I sure do need the Lord's help articulating His Word. Mark 1. I'm continuing. Miss Brandy asked what the title was, and I just continued it from what it was last time, and I don't even remember what it was. I think it was a continuation of the kingdom authority that we're seeing in Mark 1. I think that's right. But we're going to pick right back up where we left off. And if you've been here, if you've been with me, you know that we are coming to a place where Jesus is about to heal a leper. And as he heals this leper, he will close out chapter number 1. And that's where we find ourselves today. So I want to read the scripture. I don't have an outline for you. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I just give it to you the way I get it, you know, the best I know. So let's read the scripture together. And then I want us to begin to try to rightly divide this text and this scripture today. Mark 1, verse 39. Mark 1, verse 39. It says, and he preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he cast out devils. He preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, and he cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down before him and saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Let me un-King James it. Sir, I know you can do this. I just don't know if you want to do that for me. Jesus moved with compassion. He put forth his hand. And he touched him. And he said unto him, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was clean. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And he said unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and he began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. We have looked at this kingdom authority. We've looked at this gospel, this new regime, this new king, this new authority that would be so superior to the authority of Rome, but it would look nothing like it. And this is what Mark has showed us through this entire chapter. And we keep seeing this authority manifest in Christ wherever he goes. And in this short chapter, we've seen his authority over Satan in the desert. You then seen him step into the synagogues, not one, but everywhere he went into the synagogues, the place where they prayed, the place where they read the scriptures and studied and taught the scriptures, and the place where they worshiped. And the Bible said he had authority in the synagogue. And then the scribes, those who were elite in the scriptures, those who were, it was their profession, if you will, their life from the beginning. He had authority over them. He had an authority in the scriptures they didn't have. He had authority in the Word of God. We see that he is casting out devils and he has authority over spirits. And then he comes to Peter's mother-in-law's house. She has a fever and he heals her. He has authority over sickness. And people come to that door and they bring those who are possessed and they bring those who are sick. And he casts out devils and he heals the sick. He has authority in the synagogue over scriptures. He has authority over Satan and spirits. And he has authority over sickness. And we get to a leper. Another sick one. And if you read it at face value, all you get is one more story of one more sick one that he heals. And I approach the scripture with that. And from that, Lord, I was saying, Lord, you're going to have to give me more. Where do I go with this, God? Where are you taking me with this, Lord? And as I begin to pray to that, I even talked to my wife through the week and said that I need the Lord somehow. And I tell her this because she understands maybe my weirdness and when others may not. I said, I need the Lord to let me become the leper. If I'm going to teach this, because I need to see Jesus the way he saw him, to ever say to the church what needs to be said. And I can't just make that happen. But as I begin to pray through the week, and as I begin to study, and obviously I begin to study a little about the leper, so I had to learn a little bit about leprosy, and let me just say a few things, and then I want to take you where God has shown me. We understand that this leper, his sickness was different than Peter's mother-in-law's. And it was different than those who were crippled. And it was different than those who were blind. And it was different than those who were deaf. And it was different than those who had this or that. Far different leprosy is. Let me remind you of a few things. And let me just read you a very old quote. Terrible. Of all maladies, leprosy is most terrible of all maladies. It is living death. It is the poisoning of the springs, the corrupting of all of humors of life. It is dissolution little by little of the whole body, so that one limb after the other decays and falls off. It begins with a skin disease, one small spot. In this one small spot, it comes to the surface, and as it comes to the surface, it also moves inwardly. It attacks the nerves. You begin to lose feeling. Limbs begin to die. They begin to decay, and they fall off. You literally are dying slowly. You are decomposing slowly. On one hand, you're numb. On the other hand, you're in great pain. Now, the root word that comes, leprosy, the root word comes, it's a Hebrew word. It comes from the Hebrew word to strike or to smite or to hit. So, in Jewish culture, leprosy was called the finger of God. The finger of God. Okay, leprosy, if you had leprosy, if you got near anybody, you had to cry, unclean, 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 and you had to let everybody know long before you got around them that you was a leper, unclean. And for the most part, you should never have to do that because lepers were ostracized and cast out of the city. They could not get near a synagogue. They could not get near a temple. They were not supposed to get near people. They were cast out the city, ostracized. If you were a daddy and you got it, you were cast out from your wife and your children. never to worship again, never to be around your friends again. And if you got near people and did not cry unclean, you would get stoned. And they would take your dead body to where every leper goes, and that would be, if you're in Jerusalem, Hinnom Valley, and you would be burned. It is said the only thing a leper's fit for is fire. Now, the belief in this Hebrew culture is they literally believed that leprosy is judgment, exclusively. Many of the sicknesses that Jesus was healing, they viewed it as an attack from the enemy, but not leprosy. They viewed leprosy as God's judgment upon a sinful man. That's why it was called the finger of God. That's why the word is formed from to be smitten by God. That is the view of leprosy. When you had leprosy, you was a manifest display that God is judging you publicly. A terrible death. That's the way the Jews viewed it. Are y'all with me? So there's social pain, physical pain, no doubt, but you are viewed as a wretched, wicked, sinful being that God is judging. That's the way the Jews viewed this. It's contagious, it's terrifying, it spreads fast, it causes isolation. You are viewed as hideous and ugly, and what it does to you makes you just that. And the thing about leprosy is, nowhere in the Bible does it dedicate two chapters to what you need to do if you get a devil cast out. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you what you need to do if you get this sickness or that sickness or if you commit this wrong. But you go to Leviticus, you got two chapters dedicated telling you what happens if you're cured of leprosy. All that you got to go through just to be fit in society again. The cleansing rituals. Because you are viewed as a sinner. You're not just sick, you are defiled spiritually. Judgment is happening in your body because of your spiritual defilement. That is the leper. And I hung up at what he says at his request. Somewhere when we watch this happen, somewhere, this is what you see. You see that Jesus is moving in great authority and the word is being spread so much that everybody came to Peter's mother-in-law's house, okay? That there is someone who speaks like no man has ever spoken. He walks in synagogues and he takes out the scrolls and he navigates through the word of God like no man has ever did. Not only is he doing that, this man is casting out devils. He's casting out devils and you may not believe it. You may have to see it to believe it, but he is casting them out. He is watching the eviction from the enemy. They are beholding the change of unclean spirits coming out at his command with the fruit of evidence all in it. People are coming sick and he's healing and word is being spread. And somewhere this word had spread so far through the city that it made it to the outside of the city at the place where lepers congregated, the only place they could go. And this man, and I don't know his name, he hears of him. And he makes this courageous decision to give it a try. He goes in to the city. He hears of Jesus and he cries out. When Jesus comes, he beseeches him and he cries out. And I want you to listen to what he says. Something different than most people say when they get to God. He says, "I know you can do this. I just don't know if you you will do this for me. I know you can do this. I just don't know if you'll do it for me. And you see, you've probably never been looked at the way this leper's been looked at. Can you imagine the way that crowds parted when he walked through? As limbs fall off, maybe even parts of his face had fallen. Can you imagine the way that he is viewed? Even when people look upon him, he would have been the most devalued human in society. Literally, these lepers would have been the least valued people on the face of the earth, and society made no bones about it. They made it known. Not even religion had one little place for a leper. Oh, you can come to the temple if you ain't got it, and if we look you over and if we can approve that, then you're free. Not even religion. Not even Yahweh had a place for a leper. I could not understand, and you may not can understand, why he would ask a question like this. I know you can do it. I've heard all too well of what you can do. I know you can do it, but I understand if you wouldn't want to do it for me. By now, I understand. I read the Bible and there's no place for me. When I read the law of Moses, there's no place for me. When I look into your eyes and your eyes and your eyes and your eyes, you have nothing for me. That's his life. Do you understand a little bit why he would say, I know you can do it. I just don't know if you would want to do that for me. He don't know. He knows that there's no place for him in the Pentateuch and in the law. He knows there's no place for him around the temple or around God's people. He knows there's no place for him even in his old family. Nobody. Nobody's looked on him in kindness in years. Nobody's offered up any kind word in years. He's looked at as a monster, who would be better off served in the fire already. Do you kind of understand a little bit the best we can with whatever sanctified imagination you got, what it must have been like to be him? And why he said, I know you can, I just don't know if you want to. Don't know if I'm worth that much to you. Don't know if you can stand to look at my face. I don't know if you can even bear of what my image is now. Don't know if you even want to get close enough to me to where I could even hear your word. That's this leper. See, this is different. This is different than everybody that brought a sick person to Peter's mother-in-law. This is different. I know you can. I just don't know if you would want to. I know you can, I just don't know if you would want to. I don't know if you would do it for me. I wonder, has anybody else ever felt that before? God, I know you can do this. I don't know if you would for me. God, I know you can do it, but I've not been good enough. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I know you can. I just don't know if you will. And I'm saying, God, help me be the leper. And I'm trying to get in the text. And I come up here one day at 2 o'clock and I'm trying to get in. And the best I can do is fall asleep right here at 2 o'clock during the day trying to get into the text, trying to meet with the Lord. And then later on, God begins to move in me and he begins to show me some things. And I'm sitting here getting back in the text. And what begins to happen is I'm trying to get back in the text and I hear this echoing voice, God, I know you can. I don't know if you will or if you would want to. And something inside of me began to rise up. And even though I could not become the leper in the text, I found myself sitting at the Bible, looking into the text, telling him, he will do it for you. I don't know what it's like to be you, and I'm trying to understand you, but he will do it for you because you don't even know. In just a few days, he's going to walk in a tomb where a man's been dead 4 days, and he's going to bring him forth, and you don't even know that just in a little while, he's going to wash a man's feet that's going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver, and you don't even know that he's about to get on a Calvary, and he's going to look at men that tortured his body and say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. And I'm pleading with the man in the text. He will do it for you. You don't even know. He's about to die on a cross for sinful men that have been hostile towards him, who will never love him the way he loves them. He will do it for you. He will do it for you. And he says, if you will, I know you can, if you will. And I hear, and I begin to hear, I still hear in my spirit just two simple words that has stuck with me for about 72 hours, and it is just this: I will. I will. And you could tell me I will, and you could tell me I will, but when the Lord began to speak in my heart and in my soul, I will begin to move in me. I read this text. You got to understand that what Jesus does here, I want to pick back up on something I said last week, that he is showing his authority, but sometimes his authority don't look authoritative. It looks like compassion. Sometimes it is bold and it is fierce and it is strong, but sometimes his authority is just as powerful. It's just as potent, but it don't look fierce. It looks like compassion. Because what he does, and you've got to get this in the text. You've got to get this. He says, I know you can. I don't know if you will. And Jesus moved with compassion. And he says, the Bible says, he put forth his hand and he touched him. And then he said, I will, be thou clean. You have got to understand this right here. He touched him, and then he said, I will, be thou clean. He touched him. This man had not felt a loving touch in who knows how long. You understand? He ain't even had a good look from anybody. I wonder if it was a man that once had a wife and got leprosy. He's not felt the touch of his wife, maybe in years. Not felt the touch of his children, ostracized and isolated. Maybe he had forgotten what a good touch felt like. Or maybe just an unpainful touch. He hadn't felt an unpainful touch. And maybe he got to the point where he just hadn't felt a touch, period. He was so numb. And what does Jesus do? He touches him. He touches him. He touches him, and it has less to do with healing. It has less to do with healing as it does him touching a man who nobody else would dare get near. Care if you're contagious. You understand that this is where a compassionate touch is manifest in some of the most potent authority. Because I'm going to come in and touch what is defiled, and I'm going to touch what is contagious, and I'm going to touch what nobody else would touch. He touches him. This man is defined by his sickness, his contagion, his ugliness, his lack of self-worth, how he is devalued in society. He is unworthy to even be touched. He's thinking, this man, I know he can't touch me. I know he would never touch me. And I'm forbidden by law to get in touching distance from him. But I've heard he's a man that if he says it with its mouth, it'll happen. I heard that I don't even got to get close enough to touch him. If he just says it, it'll happen. And he is exactly right. Jesus, all he had to do is just say a word. But Jesus is about to do what nobody else in Israel would do. He's about to touch a leper. I think sometimes that these people gathered who deep down in their heart says, God, I know you're real. I know you're real. And I know you're God. And I know you can do anything you want. But God, I just don't know if you'd do it for me. I don't know if I'm valuable enough for you to do it for me. I don't know if I'm important enough. God, I'm a mess. I'm ugly. I'm hideous on the air. I feel like I'm nothing but a broken mess. Survived years, a culmination of all these things that are bad. Has anybody ever felt like that? I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about there's been people that's been devalued by their own daddies, molested, devalued by their mamas, by their in marriages, and they go through all, and they find themselves as a mess that knows God is God and he can do what he wants, but somewhere they lose every bit of self-worth that they have, and they believe it rings true of heaven too. But not me. I'm not good enough for that, and I'm not valuable enough for that, and God, he might do that for you, but he wouldn't do it for me. There's probably some of y'all that ain't felt a good touch from God in a long time. Maybe some of you feel like you've not felt anything but a painful touch in a long time. And there may be some of you who just ain't felt nothing. Numb as you can be. I feel like the Lord told me to tell you, I will for you. I will for you. And I'm going to touch you. And I'm going to touch you. He touches this man. And then he speaks to him. He speaks words and he commands the sickness to leave. And you see here that he is displaying authority. Because is this healing of a sick leper? I need to ask you this. Is it just about sickness? When Jesus does this to this leper, he is clearly manifesting his authority. He has compassion on the leper, but he is displaying his authority for everybody to see. Leprosy, it's contagious, it starts off small, and it spreads deep. It numbs, it hurts, and it slowly ends in death. It separates you from the place of worship, from the presence of God at the time, which was the temple in that dispensation, right? Separates you from being included into the family of God, into the people of God. It makes you unclean, defiled, sinful. And it makes you fit for nothing but fire. And man can't cure it. Do you know what it sounds like to me? Sounds a lot like sin. Sounds a lot like sin. It can be little. That's why Jesus says it's like leaven, just a little bit. Just a little bit. If you put just a little bit in, a little bit of leaven, spread and impact the whole lump. Just like sin, it's a little bit contagious. You know what I mean by that is somebody had to give it to the leper. And don't you forget, you got it from the first Adam.
It was passed to you just like it was him, and it spreads throughout your body. It'll spread. It'll go deep, and what it'll do, it separates you from, remember what it says in the Old Testament, your sin has separated you from your God so that he cannot hear. That's what the prophet says. It'll spread. It'll separate you. It'll make you unclean. Seeing what it does, it'll make you fit nothing but for the fire. Fit for the fire. And ain't no man that can cure it. I tried as an empath to understand his leprosy. And the Father, I'm attempting to understand him and understand his leprosy. And I'm looking into the text and I'm saying he will, and I'm cheering him on. The more I read into this, the more I realize that in my lost state, I am the leper. Because this healing of a leper, it just is not about curing an incurable disease. He's about to do something in the perception of all of Israel. And it is this right here. They view leprosy as the finger of God, God smiting a man over his sin. Right? That's the way they view it. And who on earth would dare intervene in that? See, leprosy ain't like what Peter's mother-in-law had. The devil brought that on. That's the way they view it. But if you got leprosy, this is Yahweh smiting you with his hand. And what type of authority would you have to have to stop that? Can I give you a little foretaste of the healing of a leper? It encompasses the full gospel. Because of sin, men would be smitten by God and take on the wrath of God. Right? Huh? Had he not saved you, where would you be? Where would you go had he not saved you? When your days are up, where would you go had it not been for the gospel, for Jesus Christ? You would be smitten by Yahweh in a devil's hell for all of eternity. And I know they don't preach that no more. I know we live in the new age of universalism and God would never send a man to hell. I realize that's what they like to say today. But make it known unto you that God is still God and he's a righteous judge and he judges sin. And it is his wrath that will fall on sinful men one day. And who can stop it? Only one. So look, Jesus just ain't saying, I'm going to cure something no other man can cure. He's doing that. He picks up on the leper's pain, and it is personal, and it is intimate, and he didn't have to touch him, but he did that for the leper. He touches him, but he also touches him for all of Israel to see that what he's got, I ain't scared of. That what he's got can't happen to me. It can't have authority over me. I got authority over it. And you may not have authority over it, but if you get the one that has all authority, that's how you get authority over it. And that's what Jesus does. And he shows all of Israel, when they view the wrath of God falling, Jesus makes himself known already as the intercessor and the advocate for our sins. If they view leprosy as God pouring out wrath on sin, it is Jesus who comes in our stead to deal with the wrath of God that is for us. Jesus died on the cross for you. Not just your sacrifice, but your substitute. Did you hear that? He is the sacrifice, but he died not just on the cross. He died on your cross. He died in your place. He is substitutionary atonement, and he intervenes, and he is the advocate of the wrath of God on sinful men. That's what he's performing when he heals a leper. He said, look, I'm going to heal him, I'm going to make him better, and I'm going to give y'all a little foretaste picture of the gospel while I'm at it. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to touch him like he's never been touched. I know how many days it's been since he's felt a good touch. I know. You don't know that I know, but I know I am God in the flesh, and I'm going to touch him. And I want every one of you to see it, to see my authority over the leprosy and even over sin. So we've been looking at his authority in the synagogue, his authority over Satan, his authority over spirits, his authority over sickness. But in one, it encompasses both. He's showing authority over the greatest sickness and sin for what it's symbolic of. Let me say this. Literally, he was a leper. Figuratively, he's the sinner. Okay? I believe with all my heart that is what Holy Spirit's showing here. His literal authority over leprosy. Literally, he is a leper. Figuratively, he is a sinner. Leprosy has always been viewed in Jerusalem as a sin problem. That's the way it's viewed. And we see the picture of the gospel in the figurative picture of sin in this leper. He touches him. He cleanses him. He has authority over it. He intervenes the wrath of God. That's the way they see it, right? Which is what he does at Calvary. Now let me say this. I've got to show you something about the leper. Because I know some of you are here. And you're like me. At times, you know God can. You just wonder if he would. And I know there's some of you here that's hurting, and there's some of you that needs a touch of God today. Andre, is there anybody, have you ever felt in life that you need a touch of God? You need him to touch you. His touch is the only thing he'll do. Say, I've been numb. I need a touch from the Lord. I feel like the touches I get are so painful. God, I need you to touch me. Anybody else feel that? I want to show you the leper's faith. At first you would think, well, I don't know if he's got good faith because he don't even know if Jesus cares enough. But let me show you a few things he did. Three things about his faith that I think God wants us to take away today. Number one, he illegally pursued. He illegally pursued. Number two, he intimately prayed. And number three, he was in the ideal position. It says he came to him. He had no business coming to him. Nobody permitted this leper to come to Jesus. Nowhere would it have been okay for him to approach Jesus. He's not even supposed to walk through the gate of the city. It is illegal for him to pursue Jesus. And there was the chance that if he didn't cry unclean and didn't let people know, they could stone him on the spot. Listen, he pursued illegally. Do you know what that means in his case? Everything that stood in the way of him pursuing God, he didn't care about. There was not one thing that stood in the way of him pursuing God. He had more excuses than you got to pursue God, yet he pursued anyway. He had more reasons to not pursue Jesus than you do, yet he pursued anyway. He had to deal through more hindrances. He had to take greater risk, and yet he pursued anyway. And I don't want you to fool yourself over your faith. Your faith has got to be something more than intellectually I acknowledge and believe that God is real. It's got to be more. If you've got real faith, it must manifest in relentless pursuit. Somebody say amen. Pursue. I got great faith, but I got weak pursuit of God. No. Then you've got weak faith. Because one way faith manifests is a pursuit of God. He came to him. With every person that he walked by, that got out of his way, that looked at him as if he was the devil and told him to get out of the city. And if you don't go, we'll stone you. And you better cry unclean. You can't be here, leper. You're going to get a sick. Do you imagine all the stuff he had to hear and go through just to get near Jesus? And we sit over here like, well, I would worship, but I'm afraid of what somebody might think if I do that. Do you understand how weak faith looks when we are like that? didn't care. He didn't care. He didn't care what culture said. He pursued God. He didn't care what people thought. He pursued God. He didn't care what the law said when it come to pursuing God. He pursued God. I need you to seize faith. He intimately prayed. He said he beseeched him. He beseeched him. We see this word all the time. You know what that word in Greek is? Parakaleo. Parakaleo. Now, there's a few points I want to make about that. Para means near. Kaleo, to call out. He got near and he called out. That's what it means to beseech. He pursued and then he cried out. I just believe that faith, when it comes to the surface in you, it'll cause you to go after God. It'll cause you to cry out to God. If we are saved by grace through faith, I believe somewhere that faith manifests this way. We pursued God and cried out to God. Parakaleo. And on the other hand, this is the same form of the word where we get the term for Holy Spirit, Comforter. He is crying out to God. He is praying to God. It is not just a cry from a distance. It's a nearness cry. Somebody say nearness cry. Look, I believe what faith looks like in your life is you do a nearness cry. You don't sit back, way back in self-pity, but you go after God and you cry for Him as you go. It's a nearness cry. And then he kneels down. He's in the ideal position. He falls at his feet. He falls at his feet. And I have to say this. This is what preceded the touch. This is what preceded the word. Would he have touched him had the man not broke the rules and entered the city? I can't say for sure, but I'm assuming not. I'm assuming not. Jesus didn't heal everybody in Israel while he was here. He didn't. He healed many, many, many. But there was times he had to escape the crowd. He had to at times. Look, the touch was preceded by an illegal pursuit, relentless pursuit, and a nearness cry. And he was in the right position, on his knees at the feet of Christ. I feel like somebody somewhere inside of you has been able to identify with a leper this morning. And God says, I will. God says, I will. And God wants to touch you. But on your end, it's time as a church we start illegally pursuing. We quit worrying about what culture says, what other churches think, what church rules are and what culture rules are, and we got to quit worrying about what you think and what I think. We can't worry about what people think. We've got to go after God. We've got to go after God, and we've got to do a nearness cry, not a religious cry, but a nearness cry where we go after Him, get as close as we can, and cry out to Him. And find ourselves in the position of worship and submission. And that is on our face, kneeling before Him. The position of worship, humility, and submission. Now, let me say this. He does that. Jesus touches him. He cleanses him. And then he says, go to the temple. Go to the temple. And what did he do? He didn't go to the temple. We'll talk more about that in just one second. Jesus says, go to the temple and do everything that Moses commands so that you'll be a testimony. So that you'll be a testimony. And what he was supposed to do is go to the temple and say, I was a leper, but I'm no longer a leper. And the priest would evaluate him. And if the priest determined that this is so, he went through a long ritual that I don't have time to go through. But I'll give you kind of the high points. He takes two birds. He kills one bird, takes the blood of that bird and puts it on the feathers of the other bird and releases the bird. Then he takes two lambs. One lamb is to be killed as a offering to God. The other lamb is to be killed as an atonement for the leper's sins. See, this leprosy, it, to the Jews, is all about sin. All about sin. One lamb is killed just as an offering to God. The other lamb is killed as a substitute for this man's sins. And then he takes the blood. He puts it on his right ear. Puts it on his right thumb and on his right toe. And I've heard people say that the blood is being applied to the mind and to the hearing of the believer and to the thumb, to the hands, to the working of the believer, and to the foot, to the carrying of the gospel to the believer. And I don't know if that's so. But I know this, that the law, it is a pattern and it is a shadow and it is symbolic, and Jesus fulfilled it. That's what I do know. And they take oil and mix it with the blood. They take oil and mix it with the blood. And the oil and the blood is then applied to the cleaned leper. Somebody say, Holy Ghost and the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit mixed together, applied to your life. All of it's symbolic. Do you understand this? He's to go in. Do you know what Jesus, why did he tell him he had to go to the temple? Not because he needed the law, not because he needed deemed clean by the law, but he wanted this man, number one, to see that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. That Jesus is the first bird that died, and the blood applied to the second, the leper's the second bird that is released free. That Jesus is the lamb that dies to glorify the Father, but he's also the lamb that will die for your sins. That's what he's showing him. And then he needs to show the powerless priest that he might condemn him clean through a ritual, but there's one greater than that that can deem him clean by the touch of a hand and by a word. He said, I want you to go to the temple. And when you get there, you don't even know it, but I'm going to blow their minds. I'm going to show them the fulfillment of the law has come. I'm going to show Judaism that I'm the one. That's what he does. That's what he does. He's fulfilling the law, and he sends him out as a testimony. Sends him out as a testimony. And then the last thing he does, and I'm about done, he says, don't go tell nobody. I want you to go to the priest, and when they see you, they're going to be blown away. You're going to be a testimony there. But I forbid you to tell anybody. What's he do first thing? How does he start his life with Christ now? Doing exactly what he told him not to do. I hate that sometimes believers come to know the Lord and they walk right out of way, right back into disobedience. But now let me say this. I don't want to go that route. I know some of you is being hard on this man a little bit, and I was a little hard on him. How can Jesus do you that way and be so good, and the first thing you do is totally betray him? Totally betray him. I mean, I understand. I've did it a lot in my life, you know. My first thought is critical and judgmental. And then I got to remember that, well, I am this man. Apparently, I do the same thing. But then this hit me, okay? Let me leave you with this right here. What he did was, Jesus said, don't go tell anybody, and he goes and tells everybody, and I suppose that's disobedient, but I think that might be better than Jesus telling us to go tell everybody and us not telling nobody. Jesus tells us, go tell everybody, and many times we hardly tell anybody. So we'd have to be real careful to be hard on this guy. Because he did the opposite. Don't tell nobody. And he could not help but tell everybody. He touched me. He touched me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Anybody remember that song? He couldn't help it. He couldn't help it. I want to ask you to stand and you want to play a song. We're going to leave here in a minute. And I feel like, I don't know if it's 1, 2, 10. I don't know. But I know there are some here today that can relate to this lady. You see why God would bless you. He would heal you.
Be what you've always been.
The
refiner.
I don't know if you've ever been as disobedient. I feel that way sometimes, you know.
If the altar's where you meet,
some of y'all ain't loving God as much as I've quit.
Take me there. Take me there. What you need is just an offering.
This man, isolated on the outside, he's lonely, he's hurting, but yet he's numb, he's devalued by those around him, by himself. He knows God is real. As many of you that knows God is real, your faith ain't if God can, your faith is if God would for you. There's somebody here today that the area of your faith is struggling, not as if God can, but if God would for you. There's some people here today, you'll tell everybody else exactly what God's going to do. You just have a hard time telling yourself the same thing. God says, I will. God says, I want to touch you. What we need to do is go after him, get near to him, call out to him, get in a submissive, worshipful position and call out to him. And God says, I will touch you. I'll meet you where you are. I've got the answer and I will. I've got the answer. I've got what you need and I will. And I will. And I believe this. Whoever you are, if you'll start illegally pursuing, go after and let nothing get in your way. Cry out to him and get in the submitted worshipful position. He's going to touch you in a way that you can't shut up about it. It will be your anthem. It will be your story. It will be your... You won't have to sing nobody else's song because you'll have your own. You'll have your own story. And you won't be able to hold back the goodness of your God. He has authority. He's got authority over your sadness. He has authority over your brokenness. He has authority over everything over you that you devalue. Everything that's wrong, he has authority over that too. He has authority over your sins. He has authority over your standing before the Lord. He accomplished all that in one leper. He made all that known. Would you bow your heads? Father, move this morning. Spirit of the living God, Holy Ghost, do what you do. Move in this place, God. Move in this place, God. Move in this place, God. Touch us this morning where we are. Lord, I know you ain't got to. I know you ain't got to. God, we ask you to do it. God, we know you can. Lord, and we know you will. God, you are willing. Bless, release, and open mouths, God, to declare your wonderful works, God. Move in this place. Move in this place. God, I pray that you would strip away the lie that Satan has imparted into minds. That God won't do it for you. That God don't love you enough, or you're too big of a failure, or you're too sinful, or you're too bad for God to come and touch you. Lord, I pray that you would eradicate it. Make your glorious goodness known this morning, God. Move in this place, God. Lord, I pray we as the church would pursue relentlessly. Relentless pursuit. Intimate prayer that we would call out to you. Submit to you, God. Father, move in this place. Just for a few more minutes where you are.
There's a satisfaction in God that you'll get nowhere else. He says, you drink of this water, you ain't gonna want it no more. You don't need it no more. One drink. There's a satisfaction in God. Because that touch he gave this man, it touched places. It wasn't just his skin it touched. It satisfied his heart, his mind. You realize it brought restoration to his body. He brought restoration. His touch, as satisfying as it was, it brought restoration. I'm telling you, the Lord's going to touch some of you. And it's going to satisfy your heart, give you joy. It's going to bring restoration in your life. There'll be things come back that's missing. Things that you're supposed to have. Things that you're supposed to have that is missing, that the enemy stole. It's going to come back. I'm assuming if leprosy take the limbs and touched him and made him whole, that was restoration in the touch. Let him touch you this morning. Let him touch you this morning. Go after him. I tell you this, church, he was not the only leper that day. He was not the only leper. He was the only leper that illegally pursued. He was the only leper that got close enough and cried out. And he was the only leper that submitted. He wasn't the only leper, but he was the only leper that came. In this text, don't be the leper that stayed outside the gate, church. Be the one that pursues. And I declare and guarantee unto you, he'll touch you like you've never been touched. He is God. He loves to put his authority on display, even in your life. It's just that sometimes it looks like fierce and it's might. Sometimes it looks like compassion. Father, we bless you and we thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. God, I am that leper. I am that leper in my sickness. I am that leper in my distraught, God. Figuratively, what the leper is, God, I identify. But God, more than that, I identify with your touch. And I identify with your word. That I'm not just that leper. I am that leper that's been touched, that's received the word. And Father, I pray that we would continue to pursue, to pray, to position ourselves in humility and submission. And God, Lord, I pray that when you touch us the way you do, that men would come from every quarter, even if it's to desert places, to hear you and to see you. To hear you and to see you. I love this. This is the irony of the text, and I'm going to be done. The leper wasn't supposed to come in the city. He wasn't supposed to come in. He's ostracized. He breaks the law. He comes in. Jesus touches him. And we see that he goes his way. And later, right after that, we see that now Jesus is in a desert place, the ostracized place where the leper belongs. And now men are coming from every quarter to where he is. And you just see the display of power. The display of power. God took one man that the world had nothing for, one worthless man, touched him, spoke a couple of words to him, And when God got done with that man, men were coming from every quarter into desert places looking for the one that touched him. God wants to touch you in a way that you become a testimony that would cause men to come from every corner, even if it's to desert places, to find this Jesus. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed.